We're continuing in our series on Oknez Mad. Anyone remember what mad means? Making a difference. Someone squeaked it out. So today is part four of an umpteen part series. We're going to be talking about strengths today. Remember last week we talked about spiritual gifts. And so if you did not get a spiritual gift, Brian's passing these out right now. And so just go ahead and just kind of slip your hand up if you didn't get one of these inventories. It's just a real simple, it's not a test or anything like that. It's just you filling out just some questions, and then the instructions are there to help you to add up your total scores. And then you're going to write those down. You have one piece of paper that you're going to give to us, either myself or Christy, or you can drop it by the office this week sometime. And one of them you're going to keep for yourself. What we want to know is what your gifts are and your strengths. We're going to talk about that today so that we can better help you to find out what your purpose, what your ministry would be in the body of Christ. So that this is just a tool to help us to identify that. And then when we get a list of all the people, then we're going to categorize. So all the people that have the gift of helps. Helps is a gift where you come alongside someone to help them. And so like if we have a committee, which we do, that does the property, we would know this person has the gift of service and the gifts of helps. And so we would connect you to the people that do that. If your gift is teaching, we want to connect you to those that are in charge of making sure that there's teaching and small groups and things like that. If, whatever it is, leadership, pastoring, there's multiple gifts that God bestows upon us. So, all right. So today's verse, just a reminder, 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So if Paul doesn't want us to be uninformed, we don't want you to be uninformed as well. So that's why we're doing what we're doing through this series. So here's a gifts review and strengths new. I just made a little poetry there, sorry. I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Sad. All right, moving on. So here's a gifts review and strength new. Spiritual gifts are given by God. Remember that. All right. Strengths are talents and abilities you were born with. It is who you are. We all have different strengths, talents, abilities. Yours will probably be different than mine. We're going to get into more detail about that. You are at your best when you're doing what you were created to do. Remember, our theme verse through this series is Ephesians 2:10, and it says, we were created in Christ Jesus' image to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So all of us have a gifting and talents that we're supposed to be using for God. All right, so now I'm going to have I'm going to have a piece of paper for you, Craig, for tonight, so don't have to copy every single thing down. There's notes in your bulletin where you can just follow kind of along, but there's going to be a lot of information, and I got to give it out fairly quickly, so if you want the notes on this afterward, I can give them to you. I didn't have time to copy them off this morning, but I will make sure you have those. Spiritual gifts describe function of ministry in the church. So a spiritual gift helps us find what area of ministry is to be accomplished. So if you have the gift of music, then we would realize maybe you should be a part of the music team. All right? If you have the gift of healing, you should be praying for people that need to be healed. And if you have the gift of intercession, we want to get you connected to our prayer ministries. And maybe to have someone that would help to start some prayer ministries as well. So the gifts are given for us for to be used for the kingdom of God. So it helps us to find what we're supposed to be doing. Now, strengths and talents are God's way of showing us how we will accomplish our ministry. So this gets down to the nitty-gritty. If I have the gift of music, how am I going to utilize that in the church? Well, I have a talent to play instruments, and so I can play guitar. And so that's how I utilize my gift and my strength in order to do that. So I hope that makes sense. So the spiritual gifts are what we do. The strengths really kind of show us how to do those and how to accomplish that ministry. All right, Number two, the church should give you opportunities to do what you do best. But there are problems, which our church is going to try to avoid at all costs. Number one, I may not know what I do best. So anyone ever feel that way? You don't have to raise your hand. You just think, sometimes I do. You know, what can I do best in the church? Or for God. A lot of ministries don't have to be done inside the building of the church or the outside the building. Some of the ministries we're going to be doing are going to be outside in the community. Some of the ministries we're going to be doing might be in a foreign country like Mexico over spring break. But everything kind of centers out of the church and goes out from there. Number two, most churches aren't set up to do this. So I grew up in churches where I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I can remember back when I was in ninth grade, and my pastor said, hey, you need to do ministry, and we're going to put you in charge of second graders teaching second grade Sunday school. I'm ninth grade. I just go, what do I do? And so he goes, here you go. Here's your booklet. Just follow along with the lesson. I'm going, okay. And so the first thing we would do is we'd gather together. Back in these days, we would have a big rally with everyone, and then we'd go off to our Sunday school classes, and children, we'd all get together and do music first. And that's where I started to learn how to harmonize, because I would sing along, and I'd go, oh, I can do this, and started to kind of develop more of my music talents. But I'm going, what do I do here? Well, God knew that He wanted me to be teaching at some point. And the pastor, I don't know if he was being sensitive to the Holy Spirit or whatever, but he allowed me that opportunity. And so I tried to figure out how to do it, but basically I would just read my lesson. Hopefully the kids didn't fall asleep and they would get something out of it. Who knows how it went? But I did that for several years. And I ended up really loving it, enjoying it. And I can see how God started to work in my life, in my calling, in my ministry, and the gifts and the talents that He was able to give me, all the way back when I was a teenager in ninth grade. So, but we weren't really set up in a way to really help people to know. We didn't know much about spiritual gifts, and we didn't know about, you know, helping people find their strengths back in those days. But we want to be the church that helps you to find what you do best. We really do. That's one of my goals. I may volunteer for something I'm not good at or equipped to do. And so here's what a typical thing that might happen in church. We need greeters. And so we go and peg someone over here, and we start to get them to say, hey, you'd be a great greeter. Well, that person may be very introverted and not be really comfortable with people. And so every time they come to church to do their job, they're going, I don't even like being here anymore because I'm out of my comfort zone. And let me tell you what, it's okay to be out of our comfort zone because sometimes it stretches us to the point where we have to rely upon God. But there are some ministries that we may not be called to do, and there are some ministries that we may be needed in. And so that's one of our goals, is to help us to find what we're good at, what we're equipped to do. Oh, I double-clicked it. All right. Oh, back. All right. This thing is really touchy. Acts 6:1. Oh, no, I went back too far. All right, Acts 6, 1-7. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, this is the apostles, they gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the Word. So, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith, of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And Word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So, people that were supposed to be doing, the disciples were supposed to be doing, focused on prayer and ministry of the Word, the teaching ministry. They were doing so many other things that pretty soon they were getting stretched too thin, and they weren't really focusing on what they were really called to do. And so they realized that, and they appointed others who had a heart of service to be able to go out and help those that needed to be helped. So all of us having different responsibilities. And this is a terrific example of how God used people in their particular area of strength and talent and ability to be able to minister. And then look what happened. The number of disciples in Jerusalem rapidly increased. A large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The church really started to grow even more, and it was already exploding. But because people were doing what they're supposed to be doing, it worked out great. So, here we go. Here's my job as pastor. Some people ask, what do you do all day? What am I supposed to be doing? Prayer. Supposed to be praying for you, and I do. I need to have more time to do it. I need to do it more. Ministry of the Word. I need to know the Word. I need to be able to share it with you in such a way that it's understandable. If it's not, let me know, because I want to be able to clearly preach the Word so that not only you can understand it, but that you can also live it in your life. And so it takes a lot of time for me to study and read the Word and to know what I'm sharing up here with you. Another responsibility that I have wasn't mentioned in the book of Acts there, but it is important, is shepherding the flock. I am not totally responsible for your spiritual growth, but I am responsible in helping you to grow. And I know we're all at different levels in our journey, in our walk with the Lord, but I want to see all of us continue to increase and grow and grow and grow. That makes my job easy, and it makes me happy. It brings me a lot of joy. And then lastly, my job is also to equip you to be able to serve. So we're going to look at a passage in Ephesians, maybe. Here we go. Okay. Yes, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then when we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So, when we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing, you know what? Everything comes together just dandy. And we know it always doesn't work that way, but it can. What would a church look like if everyone was engaged doing what they're called to do, happily ministering and using their gifts and strengths and talents? Is there any church like that in the whole world? I don't know. But I'm hoping the Oak Ridge Church is going to be that church. And so that's why we're going through this whole series on making a difference. All right. As for the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, I like playing basketball, and this was one of the things I really, really enjoy. And back when we were in Lebanon, Oregon, I was the youth pastor there and led music. I would get to play basketball Monday, Wednesday, and Friday down at the Boys and Girls Club. Boys and Girls Club was open up for any adults who wanted to come by and play. And so after a while, we get to know the people really good, and you kind of know their tendencies and all that. And then every once in a while, a new person would come. And you go, okay, what's this person going to be like? And so you saw them warming up and saw how they were, and they started to play. You'd either go, oh, no, or you start licking your chops because you go, this is going to be a good day because I might just take advantage of this person. And it was always a frustration to anyone because you would always pick teams, and there was always... And we didn't just pick because we just didn't do that. But as far as you're on my team and you're on my team and you're on my team, because the last person would always feel badly. But we would always, there's always one person that always seemed on a team that was kind of the weak link. And we would know that. If we had a group that we'd played together a lot, we would realize that that was the weak link, and we would take advantage of that over and over again. It may be through making sure that whoever covering that guy would just keep getting the ball and scoring and scoring. Because if you won, you got to play again. If you lost, you had to sit out. And so we wanted to keep winning. And so you look back and go, is that the nicest thing to do? Well, that's just the way it was. So, and so we would take advantage of that. Now, what does a church look like when everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're a team that's working at a high level. And you know what? We can start to pick apart the plans of the devil and see the weak links that the devil has out there, because he doesn't have the strength that we have in numbers when we all come together as one. And so, folks, I just want to keep encouraging us that we would get plugged in. All right. Number three, I believe. Come on. Oh, number four. Strength explained. There was a number three. We just did it. Strength explained. Here we go. Our strengths are where we grow exponentially. A strength is the ability to consistently provide perfect or near perfect performance of a particular task. 5 clues to strengths. Number one, a yearning. What do you like to do? Well, I like to sit around watching TV eating Cheetos. No. Rapid learning. What do I pick up very quickly? Flow. What comes automatically where I lose a sense of time? You just start doing something, you're working on it, and pretty soon, man, where did the time go on that? I was really enjoying my time. Excellence. What do I do well? I know that some of the wheels are maybe already starting to churn a little bit. You're thinking, okay, where is this in me? Satisfaction. What energizes me? What do I really look forward to doing? So, what does an actual strength look like? Being competitive. We'll only compete when we can win. I still compete if I can't win. But there was a time where, well, I got other stories, but no time for that today. I was a pretty competitive person, and it's one of my not top 5 strengths, but I'm sure it's right up there. The ability to pick up on the emotions of others. Being empathetic. I don't know if this needs new batteries or what, but it's going slow. Are you doing it back there? Oh, okay. just to thrive under pressure. Instead of just kind of folding like a cheap Kmart suit, you will be right there when the pressure is on in stressful situations. I had a boss, Keith Wright. He was, man, that guy would just be just like, what's a good word? He would the pressure situation did not affect him at all. Matter of fact, he thrived on the pressure situations. I don't like a lot of pressure and conflict, but he did. The ability to make others laugh. Wish I had that gift. Okay. Or strength. The ability to take control of a particular situation. Now, last night, if you were at the basketball game, that was one of the weirdest basketball games I'd ever seen. Craig said that was the worst basketball game he'd seen in his time. Why? Because we were playing Butte Falls, and number one, their fans were just like not good. The referees were, I know one of the referees from, he was a referee in Lebanon when I played church league basketball there. And I knew that he didn't take a lot of guff, and I knew that he would take control of a situation. And I thought the refereeing was fair. Referees always make mistakes. I mean, that's just the way it is. But the fans were getting unruly. Their players were getting very chippy. The coach was just like mad as a hornet. And fouls were, you know, being called both ways. I didn't think it was anything out of the ordinary. But it was getting really bad. And all of a sudden, the referee stops the game. And he called a technical foul on one of the kids because he was mouthing off to him. And so he took control of that situation, and then he went over and told the coach, you're sitting down for the rest of the game. And then he got the athletic director, and they found the code of conduct for sportsmanship, and the announcer had to read that again to remind everyone as a fan that we are here to be good sportsmen. And then he got the athletic director to go to talk to one of the worst fans from the opposing team and told him, if you keep this up, you're going to be having to leave the gym. He had what's called command presence. That's an actual strength. I don't have that one, but this guy did. And he totally took control of the situation. There was one more bad thing that took place. One of their players, he was being a little bit too rough. And when a guy went in, one of our guys went in for a lay-in, he shoved him in the back. They both went tumbling to the ground. He kicked him out of the game. And after that, that just kind of took the wind out of the other team's sails. We were down by maybe, or up by like 4, and all of a sudden we're up by 25. And they just coasted to an easy win. He took control. He used his strengths in that situation. He was thriving under pressure. And I was really kind of in awe of how he just took control of the whole game and the outcome of that. So it was a perfect example of someone coming in and using their abilities and strengths to be able to do what they do best. And we won the game, so yay. Good day yesterday. All right, so here's the difference between strengths and skills. A skill is the ability to perform the basic steps, like adding and subtracting. I've learned that in elementary school. I have a calculator now, so I don't have to remember that. It works out really great. Parallel parking. Not too good at it. I didn't pass that in my driver's test, but that didn't totally disqualify me from getting my license, fortunately. But when I was in Germany, my boss, I was his driver, he couldn't see very well, and he goes, let me tell you how to parallel park. And so he did. And so now I know how to parallel park because no one had really taught me that before. Now it's a skill that I picked up when I was over 40 years old, so I can show off my parallel parking. That's great. And then we got a little smart car. It was only 8 feet, and I could just drive that straight in, so I didn't have to do that anymore. But I know how to do it. Thanks to Jerry Johnson. Checking someone in at a hotel, you can learn how to do that. Preparing a lesson plan. That's something I learned to do when I was in ninth grade because I had the tools, the materials, and it just showed me how to do it. It's something I learned. So that's a skill. All of us have skills that we can learn. Building a birdhouse. I added that one on. I don't know how to do that. But I can learn. All right. The problem occurs when we don't know our strengths. All right, here's some things that take place. We have been taught to be well-rounded, that with enough effort, time, energy, etc., we can do anything. This is a lot of times what we learn maybe in school or a different situation. We need to know so many different things. But you know what? We work best out of our strengths. And we learn to manage our weaknesses. One of the ways I manage things that I'm not good at is to delegate those out to other people who can do those better than I can. And so I remember being in one church where there was someone on my board that was putting a lot of pressure on me. You need to know the finances and know how to do that. And I go, I don't, because I have people that can do that. And that was really frustrating to me because, well, a lot of times we listen to those people. We are told that we're kind of just shapeless blobs of clay just waiting to be molded into what we should become. And so you can become anything. And I'm not discounting that, but you know what? We're going to be better at doing the things that we were created to do. And so I may not be good at this, and I may get in a job or situation where I get really frustrated because that's not who I am, and that's not what I do very well. Because we have talent, we think others can do what we do. If I can do that, anyone can do that. That's called projecting or judging. And so we're not to put that on other people as well. Because just because I'm good at something doesn't mean someone else is going to be good at something. And I shouldn't expect that from someone else as well. By the time we're 20 years old, our lives are based and driven by what others expect of us. One of the things that was very freeing to me when it's been like maybe eight years ago, that Northwest Nazarene University offered a seminar, a weekend conference, on how to find your strengths. And for me, went kind of skeptical, but I always try to go and learn new things, and so I took what's called an inventory, similar to the one you're taking with the spiritual gifts, and I came back with my top 5 areas of strength. And one of the things they really stressed with all of us, work out of your strengths, manage your weaknesses. And that was really a life-changing time for me because being a person like me who's much of a people pleaser and an agreeable person, I would listen to this person saying, you need to do this and you need to do this. And matter of fact, I changed my major going into college because someone told me, well, teachers don't make any money. And at that time, I was going to be a teacher, and I thought, oh, yeah, he's right, so I better change my major to becoming an engineer because my dad and my brother are, and that's where the money is. Not taking into account that all the music practice classes I'd taken were much more than all the math and science classes I'd taken, which I needed desperately. And so after the first year in college, I was super frustrated. My grades were horrible. My parents said, if you don't get your grades up, we're not paying any more of your college. Well, they weren't paying much in the first place. But I realized, you know what? I got to get back to what I can do best. And I did. And you know what? Things went well after that. So, here's the challenge. Next steps. And you know what, folks? This is not just for the church. This is also for our lives, to help us to know what we can do best. And no one's too old. And for those who are teenagers, we actually have an inventory just for teenagers. But all of us can be growing and learning what we can do best. And when I do, you know what? Life is real sweet. With all the difficulties, I'm going to have so much more joy in life when I'm doing what I'm created to do. So I just want to encourage everyone. The next step is to sign up to take a StrengthFinders inventory. So if that's something you'd like to do, the cost on this is you get a book and you get a code, and the book is going to help you. I'll give you individual coaching, but we're going to try to have a class with this. The book is $20. I know that we can have some scholarship money to help out with that. We don't want money to be an object for you to continue to grow in your relationship and walk with the Lord and finding out what you do best. Join our StrengthFinder small group. We haven't set a time or date. We just need to find out who's a part of that and then go from there. And then we use our strengths to make a difference, to truly make a difference. Let's go ahead and have our worship team come up. We're going to sing a song that we've been singing here the last few weeks. It's called Come to the Altar. This morning I wasn't going to have an altar call or anything like that, but you know, this morning I just think, you know, some of us might just need a fresh start. And we've been struggling or had a difficult time in life. And I just want to give the opportunity this morning, if you'd like to come and just pray, say, Lord, you know what? I want to start over again. Or I want to refocus. I want to recharge so I can get back on track with you. Because, folks, a lot of what we're doing throughout this whole thing is not only just to get out there and make a difference, but it's also to help you to grow in your relationship and your walk with the Lord so that we can be all that God wants us to be. And so let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing this song. And if you'd like to just come up and just say, Lord, you know, I really just need you today. And for whatever that reason is, we just want to invite you to come. And just to pray. You can pray right where you're at, certainly, but we just want to allow this time just to be able to focus in on what God has for us. Come to the altar.